Zachary, this is normally where we do like, hey, welcome. It's episode 184 of the Better of Running podcast. But over the last probably week, the hype, it's been off the scale. We've had to stop the DMs for people. There's been so many comments and so many requests. Like, guys, basically, I mean, there's been requests where for us just we don't need hosts anymore. They just want it to become, essentially the Elise Beacom show. And we're all about giving the people what they want. So yeah, it's episode 184 of the Better of Running podcast. But we're gonna try and break the scale tonight. It's like we chased that feeling, we found it. We've got Elise, and strap yourselves in, guys. It could be the longest episode we ever have, or at least one we hype up the most on the socials, because Elise Beacom, we've got some royalty, possibly the most loved and endeared member of the Run to PB community, as voted by Liam Beecroft. But in fairness to Liam, has been seconded by nearly every single person that slid into the DMs over the last little while. We've been following the journey for the last, well, let's say the all of 2024, all of this year, all 8 weeks of it. We've been there. We've been there in the ups, been there in the downs. We've been there for the kudos. Maybe a little collab there, which we can talk about later. But mate, are you excited? Like, is this possibly the most exciting? It's a big call. You've done 184 episodes, maybe minus a couple of weeks where we've let some others take over. But is this the most excited you've ever been? And how are you, Zaka, by the way?
I'm going well, Chris. I know it's pretty surreal this episode after the build up and all the chats we've had, and then there was just so much hype over the weekend, and then to watch it all unfold, and then to get to jag the superstar onto the mic, had to plead. I had heard of rumors, whispers, seen footage, there's leaked footage of the after party. There was questions whether Elise would actually make it back into the country. But we're absolutely stoked to have Elise on, and I believe back in working order after some pretty a lot of travel and a lot of celebration. So we're pretty excited, Chriso, to have Elise on the show.
Mate, I know the asking price for the appearance fee has nearly tripled since before the marathon, but luckily management have come to the party and we've been able to extend the series at least by this episode, and hopefully more going into the future. But it looked like there was a quite a few Japanese yens spent over the weekend celebrating and looking forward to hearing not only how the race went, but I think arguably just as much the celebrations, what it descended into, and how much Elise can remember of them. So, yeah.
Welcome, Elise, after we've
Gosh,
talked about you like you're not in
longest
the room yet.
I
Oh,
know,
shit,
longest
she's
intro
here.
ever. I actually, for accuracy, I would like to clarify that when your management fee is zero, when you triple it, it's still zero.
Oh, no, let's be real. There's some zeros in it. There's
About
definitely
before, Chris,
some.
though, with the Zoom just trolling us, just putting up another podcast, showing off that she might work behind, might be on second best podcast in Australia for the kudos.
For the kudos superstar has literally does have her own segment with Riley, where we're
Oh, that's gonna
getting some
show.
hot, well mate, hot takes, where you actually is that that's on the Patreon feed, I believe. So people pay to listen to Elise, and here we are, us I don't like to refer to ourselves as peasants, but we're out here delivering the good word for free, and Elise has been kind enough to not ask for an appearance fee tonight because we have zero budget.
That's all
So,
right. I always enjoy chatting with you guys.
and you
Yeah,
bring in the
so
A material for us as well. It's not like you just go through the motions and we only sort of get, casual. It's like you've been in great form lately, and you've got one hell of a story to tell after your adventures. So, but firstly, how the bloody hell are you? It feels like forever. It's really only been 2 weeks, but mate, has it sunk in yet?
I think it has. I would love to like put a little disclaimer at the top of the episode here that my brain is probably functioning at about 23% right now after just cumulative effects of abusing my body with alcohol coupled with not enough sleep. So apologies for that. But other than that, I'm very happy. I think I'm fighting off a cold, and I think just feel very lucky to have brought a PB home.
There's also that, you know, crescendo of like you're building for, yeah, and we in a good and bad way, we make these things bigger than they potentially are. But then you get to it, and then it's like you hit this and both sides of whether you have a great day or a bad day, you come off this high, but you ride it for a while, and then it's like, oh geez, I'm back to reality. Like, has that happened yet? Have you got back? Well, I know you only got back yesterday or this morning.
Morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. This morning. Probably haven't hit that, like where you wake up and you're like, oh shit, I'm back to like real life again.
Yeah. I don't think it'll take long to get back there, to be honest. But I reckon, I don't know, just kind of going in to the race, I just had the attitude that, oh, it was really nice to like put together a good training block, build some fitness, and, you know, no matter which way the race went, I'd still have that sort of thing. So I think that was a good feeling. I must say we've kind of got plans to go to Europe in August, and I did have the World Marathons page open today being like, ooh, what's going on around that time? Not much, it turns out, but
in August.
Yeah, no, I think I'll try and enjoy it for as long as possible, because you never know when your next PB is, really.
So are you foregoing the chance to run 15K around Lake Wendouree and Ballarat at XCR for the possibility that you might go to Europe in August instead? That's a pretty big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Well, the drafts have just come out for XCR, and Geelong Pussycats are in premier, so that was good to see. So I will try and get to as many Pussycats meets as I can, but Lake Wendouree might be off the cards depending on where that falls in the calendar.
Fair enough. Hey, so what we've done in this build up is we've gone through your previous few weeks beforehand. I guess we spoke last time and it was only a week out, and you were about to hit your final long run / kind of a tune up. Be cool to hear about just that final week, because the taper, all the taper feels, and then obviously traveling and getting over to Osaka and getting a chance to run with a few Aussies, and like to hear about a couple of your shakeout runs. But maybe take us to that Sunday before the Sunday a week out from the marathon.
Yeah, sure thing. So the week before the marathon, if you can remember from last time, I was like pretty tired 2 weeks out or so, and my coach and I had kind of dropped back some of the sessions a little bit just to give me a bit more time to recover. And so I ended up doing a 30-minute at half marathon effort that week, which was originally meant to be 40 minutes, but we dropped it back to 30 and averaged 3:48 and just felt so much better than the week before. So that was really good. I was like, okay, the freshen up is starting to work here, which is great. And then ended up doing the long run on Saturday instead of Sunday, just to, I guess, give myself an extra day of recovery between that and the race the following Sunday. And ended up doing 10K at goal marathon pace, which averaged 4:01s, which is exciting.
Yeah. Is that a standard taper session for you? Like last week out session with your coach?
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually meant to be 12K, but we dropped it down to 10. I think I did 10 at before Gold Coast as well, and that kind of even though it's still quite a lot, like compared to the other sessions, it was, you know, half or less than half. So just, it's just meant to like give a little bit of confidence and just get lock into that feel of the pace, I suppose. And so did that around the sands and ran with Corrine, who joined us over there, which was awesome. And saw a few good flybys. Ellie and Kieran were there and Will, and did a cool down with Renee Lane, which was great. So vibes were high. People were getting excited.
Say, yeah, people would have been pretty hyped doing their last weekend of training, knowing they're flying out.
Yep.
Did you, in that goal pace, because it's often that feeling you're like, oh, I'm going to do 10K at Goulmarra. It should just feel easy if I'd have got to do four times that. But did it actually feel that way?
It didn't feel easy. Yeah, like I felt comfortable. I didn't feel like I was pushing it too much. Probably like the last couple of K were feeling a little bit like, okay, yeah, I'm done with this now. But no, it for the most part, it felt good, and I felt like I had, you know, energy left, which is good because it was only like, I think I did like 18K of volume total with the warm up and cool down.
Three.
I did not wear them that day. I wore my twos. I was like pretty confident that Alpha threes felt good, and I wanted to save them.
So how many Ks did you had in the Alpha threes before Osaka?
I reckon like 36.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the following week was travel week. So, and really like tapering down, I did like a really tiny, and this is standard for me, a really tiny tune up on Tuesday, because I was flying on Wednesday, which was 8 by 45 seconds off a like 75 second jog. And that's just it's like a nice little treat for your legs to just spin around a little bit. It's almost like some extended strides, but it's meant to be around 5K effort. So that felt good. I think I did do that in the alphas just because it was so, like, it was 3.7K or something. And then flew on Wednesday in the morning. So I stayed in Melbourne the night before because my flight was at 9 and it's just a bit easier to be there and get to the airport. And the flight was really good. I had a seat next to me.
Oh, that's a bonus.
Yeah, it was really luxurious. Watched bad TV and like did some work and read, and yeah, it was good. Good flight. And then
Aussies on the flight?
Not that one. Yeah. Oh, I actually saw Dave Ridley.
Oh, cool.
I think I walked past him, but we didn't see each other.
Yeah.
But I saw him like with his headphones on the flight. Nice. And saw a few Aussies in the airport as well. Everyone like catching various flights. So that was already like building a bit of hype.
Yeah.
Everyone in Melbourne, like getting their last fancy coffee before hopping on the plane. So that was good. And then I had been a bit disorganized, or I just kind of thought I'll arrive in Tokyo and then get a bullet train to Osaka that night, just so I arrive there and can wake up there. But I realized after that it was going to take me 4.5 to 5 hours to get there. So it was going to be a late night. And then when we were taking off in Melbourne, I found this like budget airline called Peach that was flying from Narita, and I like booked it as we were taking off. And so I caught that flight, and then the trains from the airport were delayed anyway. So I ended up like getting into Osaka at 1:30 in the morning ish. I had to walk 20 minutes through the city. Japan's like so safe that I just didn't think twice about that. And probably got to sleep at 2 a.m., but then had a good sleep in and was in Osaka.
It's a lot of travel still.
Yeah, it was. And my hip flexors pulled up quite sore, actually.
Yeah.
So For like they were sore for like 3 days. After a couple of days of it, I just sent a quick email to my physio Wade and Sam, awesome at Mana Physio, and he just like sent me a few exercises that I could do. So actually, these are good for anyone traveling. If your hip flexors get tight, he said, like, spend time on your tummy. So, like, if you're reading, just like read on your tummy because it's kind of stretching it out. And you can do those little, like, baby cobras or that kind of stretch. And then also, if you're sitting up on the bed or lying down, you just like hang one of your legs off the side of the bed because it's stretching that out too. And so, I did that, like, when I was in my hotel room for 1 day, and then the next day they felt totally fine. So that was good, very helpful.
So we're Thursday now, yeah? Thursday or Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday. So how are you
Thursday.
spending your time? Because it's like exciting to be. I mean, you were in Japan earlier this year. You've probably been to Osaka before, but you were also conscious of like staying off your legs and like resting. How did you pass the time?
Yeah, so on the Thursday, I wasn't that concerned about that. Like one of my friends, a good friend, Erin, she'd flown in from Ukraine of all places. And we she it was her 40th on the day of the marathon. So like we were hanging out and, went out for dinner and wandered around a bit. I did a shakeout run with Connor and we did like the worst loop ever. We had no idea where to
I'm just having a look at the map, and I mean,
run.
Connor's done some pretty rogue things in his time, and he's probably not the guy to be following on a loop, and particularly in a city he doesn't know. But yeah, judging by that map, that it'd be hanging that one up in the on the wall under the shittest loop section.
Yeah, definitely got a place there. So yeah, like a bit of wandering around. I think I did like 20,000 steps that day, maybe even a bit more, but I was like, nah, Friday, Saturday, it's time to just stay off my feet. So yeah. And
Expo
then we
time.
had expo time. Yeah, that was on Friday. So we had a shakeout. We went to the castle this time, which was really good. And there were four of us. So Al McNaughton, who ran a really good PB over there, Erin, who I just talked about, and Connor. And that was really nice. It's like so beautiful around that castle. And I hadn't been to Osaka before, so that was my first time seeing that. And then we organized to go to the expo after that, which was absolutely like chaotic. There were just so many people everywhere. And there were all these like
30.
random businesses with stands that you just had no idea how they were related to the marathon.
Well, there's 30. Is it 37,000 in that race?
Something like that, yeah.
What I saw when I was looking at some details before, and I was like, that is a massive race. Like, you
Yeah.
know, what's Gold Coast? 10, maybe 8 at the marathon, I think, maybe 10. Like, yeah, nearly 3 or 4 times it. And
Yeah.
yeah, they're just obviously fanatical about it. And yeah, no doubt it would have been some interesting things. I think I saw a photo, I don't know if it was you or someone posted some of the options on the that were showcasing at the expo that was going to be out on course for
Oh.
sushi, and there was all kinds of things, maybe Calippos. But yeah, there's
No
definitely
Calippos, sadly. No. I think there was like plum pickle or like there were croissants. There were I have to like look up the booklet because
rum.
I read them and I was like, "Oh, that's a bit dicey."
Like that.
Yeah, so that was an experience, and there was also a bit of last minute chaos with everyone just trying to find things to wear that were warmer because we really knew that what the forecast was looking like by that stage, and so people were getting gloves and hats and arm warmers and all of that jazz, ponchos, Just anything to layer up, because we obviously, when you're traveling from overseas, you probably don't plan for all kinds of weather and what kit you bring over.
Yeah, a few trips a day, so
yeah.
I sent Matt down there. Matt sent us a message saying, "Oh, where do you reckon I can get pipe cleaners in Japan?" And you, I'm in bloody Melbourne. Like, how do you think I really know what?
I hope you get all this.
I know in Melbourne, so like, there's a good chance that it's a Japanese, like a $2 store sort of thing. And I sent him down there. He googles, "Oh yeah, there's one 400 meters away. I'll go down there." Sent a photo half an hour later, and he'd found some pipe cleaners to do the decorations for Gemma's drinks.
Oh, so good! Love that. Carb loading was
food.
Carb loading. So I loved they have these like pancakes from the 7-Eleven. So they were 75 grams of carbs. I smashed some of those. I had some LCM bars and some snakes and some Morton bars as well, which
Were you going to a set, like actual grams that you were aiming for every day, or was it really specific about how much you needed to get in, or were you just going hard? Not at all.
I was going hard. I have like Brett Robinson gave his like carb loading plan out, so I kind of use that as a gauge. But it just has like a range like that you should aim for. Well, his was like 10 to 12 grams per kilo of body weight, which is a lot. So I didn't quite make that, but I was logging it, and I think I was like, one of the days I actually nearly hit it, because I did like 480 grams of carbs. And then the second day I did like close to 400, but I was starting to feel really sick, so I couldn't get any more in. And I was like, oh, I think there's a fine line too where it probably can go wrong. And I was a bit worried that maybe I'd found that line, but I hadn't, thankfully.
Is that something you wanted to try and maintain in the days after the marathon as well, mate?
The carbs, carb loading. I've been hitting it. I've been hitting those KPIs every day since.
Hey, I'm really interested, as someone who doesn't have a passport, never has, and probably never will. Anyway, it's a different story. But how do you, and you're well-traveled, very well-traveled, in your young life, both through work and travel and play. How do you mitigate the language barrier over there, mate? Like, is it, because I honestly, it's something that I would be really anxious about. So I'm really keen. Like, I know you're super organized, very diligent, and you did take over a lot of your own things, but was there anywhere where it posed a problem, or how do you just make it look easy?
So I think the language barrier is kind of hilarious a lot of the time, and you have to just roll with it, because there are miscommunications that happen. But the Google Translate app is really good, where you can actually use your camera and you hover over like an image of a label or something, and it gives you the English translation. So I could literally see like how many grams of carbs are in a thing, or like what the ingredients were. And then you can also use that as a like a dictation tool too. So you can have conversations with people. You just like put the microphone to them. They speak into it in Japanese, then it spits out the English, then you do the same. And that works really well. Marty and I had a hilarious situation last year in Japan, where this lovely man, Mondo, was showing us around, and we were communicating through that the whole time. And then he said something, and then he looked at it, and he's like, oh no, 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 no. And we were like, oh, what's this? And we looked at it, and it said, "Would you like me to show you more of my body?" Anyway, he'd actually been wanting to ask if we wanted to see more rice patties. So that was quite wrong. But
oldest trick in the book, that one, for Monday.
No. That's sly dog.
Not Mondo's first day on the job.
We're still blaming Google Translate here in Australia. So the organization, Japan, I mean, it's a such an efficient city, clean, people are super polite, organization of the event. Let's go to race morning. And how was that? Because your start was what was the situation with your start line position?
Yeah, so the start was 9:15. We had to get there quite a bit earlier than that because it took a while to walk to the start line. I was in the wave A, so that was like the wave just behind the elites, but I think like the waves were pretty massive and I can't remember even what times were in that wave, so it was really hard to know where to seed yourself in the group. It was actually quite chaotic that morning, though. Just trying to, because catching the train to like the right section to get out at the right section to like put your bags away. And then we did face a lot of language barrier issues, like trying to know where to put our bags, because the women put their bags in a separate area to the men. So we were saying, you know, I had an A on mine. I'm like, oh, A, it's over here. But no, that's men only. We have to go this separate hall. So there were a few things to navigate there.
How
Big
early
crowds.
you there?
I think we aimed for 90 minutes before, but kind of got a train to the wrong entrance because one of the like locals said, oh no, catch this train, and then we doubted ourselves and you know how it goes.
Stressful
So but yeah,
pre-grade.
a little bit stressful. And it was cold too, and the crowds are moving, but like this was an example of real like how polite and courteous Japanese people are, was like the station was absolutely rammed and there was this big staircase to walk up the stairs, and there's two sides to the staircase. One is for people coming down into the station, the other one's for people going up out of the station. Like, no one is coming into the station, not one person, but no one will take that side. So we're all funneled into this tiny bottleneck, like moving centimeters at
Not even Connor. Surely Connor's just gone now. I'm the
time.
Aussie here.
Well, he wasn't with us at the time. It was
I'm
Corinne and her husband Chris. So
just
we were like going with going the
going.
Japanese way. But yeah, so that was a bit chaotic. But then once we found out where to put our bags, and we found Alice Wilkinson as well, which was cool.
And you go
And
back
so
on TV athlete.
yeah, she had a great day.
She did.
So Corinne, Alice, and I like jogged to the start area. There was like women's only port-a-loos. That was really good. So we didn't have any stress there, like with long waits or anything. And then got to the start and found Luke Miller there as well.
Milko, yes.
Which was cool. So he and I tried to like scooch a little bit forward because he was kind of going around similar pace to me. But I think it was also, we didn't know if it was like rude to weave forward, so we were like trying to be as polite as possible. And but yeah, and people were like, they were fine with it once we were like just smiling a lot and trying to like do your little bow and stuff.
How early did you have to line up? Because I saw some
the
footage of
yeah
some people in maybe in mid 3 hours, and they'd sort of were queuing up 40 minutes beforehand to
So
get
the
there.
start area closed 15 minutes before the gun. So you had to like be in there by that time. But because no one seems to like push forward like it happens in Australia, it was like people wanted to get in there early to get a spot that they needed to have to start like well. So there was a bit of standing around, but it was kind of nice being in the crowd because it was keeping you warm as well.
Poncho on or anything?
Yeah, had a poncho on, and a beanie on my hat. and arm sleeves and gloves. Yeah, all the things. Yeah, and one of the Japanese guys actually took it off like 5 minutes before the start.
Okay.
But lots of people were running and running like fast in ponchos, which was just so crazy.
World record chat there for you, Chriso.
Yeah.
Fast marathon.
Yeah. Was this gear that you took over there with you, or did you buy some stuff once you're over? Like I guess all your winter gear, because I'm tipping that it's probably been some time since you've pulled the arm sleeves out and the beanie and those sorts of things down there on the coast.
Yeah, absolutely. I brought the arm sleeves with me because I thought they might come in handy, but I didn't have the gloves, so I got some just from like the 7-Eleven or Lawson's or whatever for $6. And then I had a throwaway beanie that I bought at Salvo's here that I could just sort of dump. And I got a hat too. So yeah, it was just I usually hate wearing gloves and I get so annoyed wearing gloves, and I've thought, oh, these will be gone within like the first 10K, but I had to keep them on the whole race, which got annoying at times, like trying to peel the foil of my like no-dos at 25K with gloves on running at pace, and so that was a bit annoying, but I was really grateful for them because it seemed to like get colder and colder as the event went on.
I remember I was chatting to Brady before. This was like the day before, and he was really concerned about the weather, as everyone kind of was over there. And he'd sent through what he was going to wear, and I have to check with him what he ended up going with. But he was talking about neck warmer, arm sleeves, two pairs of gloves, a beanie. I think he was talking about wearing a poncho for the first 5K, like. Yeah, I don't know where he ended up going with. I'm assuming he would have had to have got all Lululemon kind of gear, but I know he was in the store shopping up
store. Oh, yeah, Japan, true.
But, you would have seen some people really kitted out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But yeah, I don't know how that, like, even sort of full raincoats, which would have been difficult to run in, bit of wind resistance there.
As well as you ran, Elise, and I know we're going to go in and crunch some numbers and all that shortly, but do you think the cold weather impacted you in any way? Obviously, you prepared the best that you could, but do you think it impacted your body in a negative way during the race at all?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the one thing, and we'll probably go into it in more details, would be maybe I went out, maybe I could have gone out a little bit more, less conservatively. I don't know, because I was kind of relying on the negative split, which I love to do and I managed to do, but all of that headwind was like in the last, you know, from 25K onwards sort of thing. So I wonder if I'd used a little bit more energy and then just tried to hold pace instead, that might have been a better strategy, like for adapting to the conditions. But I don't think the cold affected me. I didn't feel cold until like the very end, like when the wind picked up, you could really feel this wind chill. And then finishing the race, I was like, oh shit, I'm freezing.
First 5K, what do we have? Chriso, you did some numbers here, you got some splits.
So the stats that matter, Zach, are so first, like 263 kudos. Oh, nice. You meant the 5K splits. No.
Yeah.
No. So I went through in 2019 for the first five, and like whilst I'm tempted to go, so let's go K by K. Tell us, like, it's
like we've been hauled over the coals for last week's 4-hour episode. Oh.
But let's go through let's say the first 15K. So you went 2019, 2017, 2019. You fluctuated all the 2 seconds.
What about locked in?
Yeah, like you've just hit the marathon cruise control button, and away you went. But how was that first 15K? Bit of a tailwind, cold, but I would imagine the adrenaline's pumping away. Were you sort of feeling the excitement, or were you just sort of, you know, excuse the pun, just really chilled?
I was definitely excited, like when we took off. That first K was a little bit quick, but I'm always like the first K and the last K don't count of a marathon.
You got the 3:57.
Yeah, 3:57, but literally did not feel like that because there was just hundreds of people like all around you and you sort of being carried.
What a need to get out to get some space, I imagine.
Exactly. And Luke and I were a bit worried about getting boxed and then your first K being 4:30 and that kind of can ruin your time if that happens in the first one. So, yeah, so that was good. Got out cleanly and... I felt like the first 15 just felt like it went for ages. I guess I was like settling in. I was kind of expecting to have that heavy feeling that you get from the carb load, but that wasn't really there. I felt quite comfortable straight away. And I was aiming to go out at like 4:05. So I kind of had in my head that the 5K splits would be like 20:23 sort of thing. But I wasn't really concerned about where that was landing, and it was feeling pretty comfy. And that was the aim, like for the first 21K, really, to just feel like it was another training run of hitting goal marathon pace, and not that I was like pushing at all, just like holding something a little bit back.
Was that literally the self-talk in the first 15K? Like, look at the splits and be like, yep, I'm feeling comfortable, smooth, doing a bit of a system check.
Yeah, exactly. And like I made themes as you have heard me do in the past. I was like, this is kind of a last minute theme. And it was because I've been doing some meditation this year. And I was like, I've been doing some things like focusing on the soles of my feet and coming back to that. So I'd come back to that a bit in the race. If I felt like I was getting distracted, I'm like, just kind of like bring myself back into my body. And I just heard it was like on Headspace, but the guy said, oh yeah, you're like this big cat that's, you know, calm before they like hunt. And so that's kind of was my theme. I was like, be calm. And I was like, big cat energy for the first 21K.
Big puma sort of energy.
Big puma, yeah.
Wait, that first 15K, did you drop any kit? Like, I know you kept your gloves on the whole way, but was there anything that you sort of dumped off to the side? Gels, what did that look like?
Find a few autographs, throw them into the crowd.
No. I did drop off a beanie. I thought I made a faux pas because I didn't want to drop anything on the ground. No one's littering. So I was like trying to get to the side to throw a beanie at a guy with a garbage bag. And like we made eye contact. Someone had passed him a poncho and we made eye contact. And I'm like, oh yeah, you beauty. And I kind of like chucked it to him, and then he kind of shouted at me. So that might have been Mondo, the wrong thing to do. I know it wasn't Mondo, but that might have not been the right move, but I did try.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, everything
feeling
kept
at the moment. You're getting the feel. Are you getting gels in at this point?
Yeah, I had started with a bottle of Morton and I sipped that from like 5 to 7K. So I took a couple of K to sip that and it was just half the bottle, so it was 250 mils, 40 grams of carbs. And that was the most liquid that I got in probably the whole race. The rest of it was just like little sips here and there to get my gels down, but it was so cold, I just didn't feel like I needed much.
Yeah.
And so the drinks would have nearly gone a bit icy.
Perfect. Hey, the guy group you're running with, was it Were they consistent? Was it a bit of chopping and changing? Did you settle into this pack that stayed with you the whole way?
Definitely not. Like, people were changing constantly. I feel like there were probably some stretches where I was running with the same people for like 5K or 10K, but there was a lot of chopping and changing. I'll tell you, like, towards the end, I moved through the field a fair bit.
So you're alluding to getting the elbows out here? Like, we have a few.
No. No, I was just like, I saw the from 25K, actually like made up 274 places.
So just carnage.
Carnage, yeah, like, absolute yeah. Carnage, yeah.
So, mate, after the first 15, you pretty much, well, nearly similar times the whole way through. So that stretch from 15 to 30, you then went 2012, 2010, 2020. So I guess you've got the easy part of the marathon out of the way, the first 30Ks. But how did that 15 to 30K stretch feel? Like, you're still feeling really good in the body, or like, was there any changes? Though you're starting to notice the cold a little bit more, or as that group sort of fanned out a fraction? Yeah, like, how are you feeling? Did, like, was there a point in that next 15K where it sort of dawned on you that this really could be your day?
I think there was. It's so weird. Like, when I look back on it, it just all feels a bit blurry. And I think, like, I honestly couldn't tell you what scenery was there. I know that we're under some underpasses, and because the GPS was going wild when we did that. And I had a few thoughts where, you know, you just check in with yourself. You're like, is this too hard? Have I gone out too fast? Is this comfortable? Can I hold this? And then I did have a thought where I was like, actually, no, like, this feels good. I need to back myself and trust that I can hold this. And you have to just say to yourself, no, this could be a good day for you. Like, we're having a good day today. So there was a bit of that self-talk happening. I also knew that there was a hill coming at 31K. So I guess this stretch, like, from the half marathon point, which I went through in about like 1:25:40, probably around that. So that was slightly ahead of schedule. I was like, I'd be happy with 1:26. And then I was like, see how you feel after that. And if you can, like, increase a little whisker to 31. So that was the goal there. But I didn't have any, you know, some marathons where you go through like a really big rough patch or something. I didn't seem to have that on Sunday. Like, there were a few moments where I was like, oh, does this feel hard? And then I just thought, oh no, maybe this is just a little rough patch, and then it passed. And it's kind of just,
like, are you sort of preempting it's coming, and you're like almost gun shy. It's like,
yeah,
it's about to happen. Like, I'm about to hit a rough spot, and it never came.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit like that, which was nice.
But also, you knew headwind coming. The 30 to 35K seemed to be the split that everyone really struggled with the hill in there, and obviously that,
yeah,
I mean, it's a brutal time for it to be to be in there. Similar, I guess, it's like a Melbourne finish where there's that pinch. What was that hill like?
Yeah, it was pinchy. That's a good way to describe it. So it was kind of like it pitched up a little bit, like, steep. We'd actually seen it when we were like making another turn, and then we came back to it. So we kind of knew what was ahead, which was quite good to see what was coming. There was this Japanese guy in front of me, and he was absolutely fanging it up the hill. And I was like, oh, this guy looks so strong. So I just like pretended that he had a tow rope and I was behind him, and I just like followed him up the hill.
Didn't have a tow rope?
No, that would have been nice. And then I like that little part of the course I called Claws Out, and that was just like just get up the hill, get up there where, well, this is like the gritty part of the course. And then basically it was like going down the hill is where it's like business time.
Yeah. Put the socks on.
Fly to the Concords there.
Yeah. So mentally, you know, you said you really didn't get into some rough, like you were pretty, sounds like you were winding it up and I guess racing it back to the finish. Did you have to go deep into the mental side of drawing, you know, thoughts about Marty or thoughts of home, or were you just, no, I'm just staying on this. I'm kind of don't even need to draw on that kind of mental side.
Oh, I definitely drew on some things. I dedicated different parts of the race to different people anyway. So like had my family, like mum and dad and my brother and his partner, Sarah, in the first 21 and then Marty from 21 to 31. And then I dedicated 1K to myself up that hill. And then actually the last 10K I dedicated to the running community, because I feel like in the past year I've just like really been feeling the love for our beautiful like Australian running community. And I think even just like having people I might not have even met say that they'd like followed along or wishing me luck. Yeah, so I had those like really good positive thoughts in the last 10K and that really helped.
Love that. I love the shift in, yeah, dedicating it to different areas in your life, but also, yeah, the way you split that up, that's very cool. Chriso, more splits?
So we get into the fun part and you spoke about, like, I guess, having that subtle little shift at 30K. Well, you did that and it wasn't so subtle really, because that was your fastest five, that 30 to 35 Ks was 19:54, thanks very much. We just dropped the hammer just ever so slightly, but we then backed it up 35 to 40, and you know, we're talking about, you know, the pinchy little hill, getting slapped in the face with ice blocks and penguins and polar bears and God knows what else. But you went 2011 for 35 to 40 and then closed out with an 8:41. That last 12K, was it a blur? Did it feel like it went really quick, or was it sort of K by K, just kind of, I've just got to push and just, you sort of feel like you're able to isolate each kilometer, or is just grit the teeth, get it done, bang, it's done. And then, you know, here you are over the finish line trying to comprehend what's just happened over the last 42 Ks.
Yeah. It was probably a mix of those two things. So I reckon up to about 7K to go, or maybe 8, it was pretty comfortable. And then around that like 8K to go, I started to do the, okay, 7Ks, that's two laps of Princess Park and a bit sort of thing. And so it started to, yeah, it definitely felt harder. I just kept saying quick feet in my head, and just my legs were getting fatigued. I could feel like, you know, they have a little bit of that jelly like reverberation when they hit the pavement. You can just feel that they're tired, and and it feels like there's a lot of friction that you're pushing against, and there was like the headwind as well. So I was just like, just keep pushing, push, and I just kept saying that to myself. And then I had this great guy who we like gave each other a fist pump at the end. It was awesome. He just started running next to me and we didn't speak a single word to each other. He was Japanese. But we just like went stride for about 5K and we just ran side by side. And it was like, okay, we're in this together. Like you and me, let's go. And we took over so many people, which was really great. And just like having someone like that to just be like heads down now, blinkers, like let's go. It just, it made it feel a little bit easier as well. So I was really grateful to him. And it was so nice to like see him at the finish line as well and be like, oh my God, thank you so much.
As you're getting towards the end of the race and you're literally giving it everything you have, had it sort of started to dawn on you what you're about to achieve? So for the record, I'm not sure if we've even mentioned this, Zacha. It's remiss of us, but we were getting to it. Trust me, we're getting to it. Elise, you ran 250.23, if we want to be precise. But that's not just a little PB. That is a massive chunk, like 7 minutes you've carved out of it. And you did set very lofty goals. But did it start to dawn on you late in the race? Like, I'm just wondering, was there any emotion that started to set in where you're like, holy shit, I'm absolutely going to destroy the previous best result of my life?
You've never run over a marathon.
Yeah, like, and this it's not like you went, hey, I did one marathon, but I barely trained, and this one I did, and kind of I just got better. Like, this is a progression where you've put some good blocks together, and you've just gone out and absolutely nailed it, and in overseas, no less, in almost Arctic conditions. But you just come across as someone who's just calm and yeah, you're enjoying yourself, but yeah, like, was there any, did you allow the emotion of it all to take over, or was just kind of you're just out there battling the course and you're just wanting to win and, you know, winning it with yourself? But yeah, I'm just interested as your thoughts, as it sort of started to dawn on you that this PB, you destroyed it.
Oh, thanks for that. I think in that last few K, I definitely like was smiling to myself and being like, holy shit, like what the hell is happening here? And had been doing some maths earlier and was like, oh, you know, if I slow down, I'll still run like 251, which is still like way better than I could have imagined. I feel like in that 35 to 40K and whatnot, I have a lot of self-talk about just like being tough and just drawing on like tough things that I've done in the past, and just being like, this is nothing, just like be tough. And like smile, and I probably was gritting my teeth a little bit as well. But yeah, it was so nice. And like coming around the corner, the finish line came really quickly too. It wasn't one of those like long drawn out ones where you like go through the Brandenburg Gate and then you still got a million kilometers left. And you've already blown up. That's my experience. It sort of snuck up on you, and it was like, okay, just like go, it's there. I had like a massive smile over my face. I like ran right through the line. I was like so pumped. I was so excited. There's like a finish video and I just look, I'm stoked.
Does this sort of shed a bit of light for you, like now that like when Kipchoge finishes a marathon, he's that stoked now. He goes, he can then grab a flag and just keep running. Like, were you, is that how pumped you were? Were you searching for an Aussie flag to then take back down the finish chute and high five a few people?
Definitely not. But thanks for the comparison with Kipchoge.
I think it's a no-brainer, really. I think it's something we've all been thinking just quietly.
Well, there's a few good photos, amazing photos, really, of you with a massive smile, with not an Aussie flag, but the finisher towel, and some other well wishes. Actually, I think Alice is in a photo there, which is cool. It's like you're inside a stadium or something in there, but very cool. Even mate, you must have been absolutely pumped to even include all those photos, even included your splits that had your middle name in there. So you must have just been like, this is a good day. I'm putting Marie out there.
They said like put your name as it is on your passport, and I was like, oh great. And then literally no one could find me on the tracker because Marie was in.
Yeah, I got a few messages of people asking for you details, and we couldn't find you.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a fail, but there were definitely a few photos going around, and it was like the thing that was bittersweet about the whole experience was just it was such a mixed bag of performances. Like a lot of our mates had not so good days or not the days that they came for. And then a few, like a handful of us had like good days. So, I mean, that's the marathon, isn't it? And the conditions definitely didn't help with that. But it's you always feel a bit gutted when people's training doesn't convert into the performance that they like deserve, really.
Does that mean in the after party there was just a couple of corners? Like there was a corner where people were had their day, had PBs, and then there was just another corner where there was a few not my day parties going on?
Yeah, the pubs were divided, but they all came together at the end and people pretty soon forgot about the race.
What I've heard, yeah, a bit of, bit karaoke action is what's come across my desk.
Yep, bit of karaoke. When in Rome, when in Osaka.
When did you pull up stumps?
Pardon?
When did you pull up stumps from the after party?
Oh, this is incriminating.
Is it still going?
No. Still going in my mind. I was definitely one of the last people standing. I think it was like 3-ish in the morning, 3:30. I like I took myself to have some solo ramen on the way back to my hotel, which actually I think probably saved me a bit the next day.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. Like that karaoke was just absolutely hilarious.
Is it all you can drink plus karaoke? Is that what
yeah.
I yeah, okay. That sounds like a good combo. That's a good business model there, Chris.
Oh, easy money.
I don't know if it made any money.
What do you feel was the more impressive feat of endurance on the day? Your PB or the after party results still being up at 3:30 and being absolutely toasted post marathon?
I don't know. I feel like it's like a cathartic thing that you need to do after a marathon because you've been like so good and been like an angel drinking 0% alcohol beers like since the new year, and then you just need to kind of let your hair down. But yeah, I'm surprised I managed to stay on my feet that long. And I tell you what, it was probably one of the worst hangovers I've had for a very, very, very long time. But it was worth it, 100%.
Yeah. What a day. Like we've just, I reckon if we went back, Chris Owen, might have been at least episode one or two where we pushed you a bit for a time. And I think you were just like, you know what? I'm just going to go out and say it and I'm just going to put it out there. And you did. And then you've gone and delivered on that. Like, I think we go back and listen to some of that. And there was just like, it was a bit of pie in the sky. Like, well, let's just go for it and see what happens.
And then
gone and done it. Like so excited, so cool to see. And I know me and Chriso were absolutely frothing over the weekend when it came through.
No, oh, thanks, guys.
No.
Can we, as we wrap up, firstly, how are the legs now off the flight? And I mean, the head's probably still got got 4-day hangover or something, but legs wise, how, and often I feel like people recover better when they've had a PB, but maybe yours is different.
Yeah, like honestly, I think this is the best my legs have ever felt after a marathon. Are they like my upper quads, were a little bit sore, and then my quads just above my knees. But that is most of it. My calves feel completely fine. The alpha threes were great. I got no blisters. Yeah,
well,
I
got around
actually
this weekend. Like
no.
Greek back up.
Oh my God, no.
Okay.
Definitely not. But yeah, no, very surprised. As like by way of comparison, I had to use my hands to sit down until Thursday after Gold Coast. So this is a much better result.
Do you reckon the weather had much to do with that, mate? As far as like the cold weather potentially reduced some of the inflammation?
Huh. That's a good point. Because I feel like everyone I've spoken to hasn't pulled up very sore. So yeah, potentially.
Maybe the trade-off that at least you're not as sore, even though it was blisteringly cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought about, well, you did mention you've got a trip plan in Europe, but what have
what's
you
next?
yeah, what's next?
I was like, just ask it, go on.
You can tell he didn't
yeah.
want to.
He
Yeah,
didn't.
I hate
He,
doing
I
that
know.
straight after marathon. Run a
I
PB and
pushed
everyone
him.
wants to know.
I pushed
It's a
him.
listener question though, let's be fair. There's a lot of people do want to know.
So I don't have any marathons planned. I haven't signed up for anything, but I do have two halves in the calendar. So Great Ocean Road half and Gold Coast. And I just really want to go close to that 80-minute barrier. So I reckon generally I'm usually a little bit better over the half marathon than the marathon. So yeah, we'll see. There's still a bit of time to shave off for me to get close to that, but I think that would be the next big goal. And it's like, it's also that thing, I'm absolutely completely like delighted with the run and so happy. And, you know, it was like an A plus effort for me, I think. But it's also like, oh shit, like 23 seconds and I could have been like in the 40s. And it's so annoying. I'm like, when does this end for us?
It won't. It really won't. When it does, yeah, it's not good. You want that. It's good to have that. Yeah. And like, I think the option of like going back to not being in that marathon grind for, you know, I think whilst you seem to handle it really well with the build up and everything, it's kind of nice to not have the lengthy sessions in place, the long runs, and you can just dial in, get a bit of speed and enjoy some of the shorter races.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good mentally too. And I'll do cross country again this season, XCR, which I just absolutely loved last year. I think like doing those long marathon sessions, like I'm so grateful to my coach, John, for getting me to do those every week because like it just made me go to the start line and feel confident that my body knew how to run that pace, if that makes sense. So that was a good feeling to have. It just made me feel quite relaxed in the week leading up because it was like, you know, we've done this in training. But those sessions do take quite a toll and you need to recover well from them because they're pretty big.
So I've got a question for you. What was harder, the marathon or that session you did back on January the 28th when you're away up near the Blue Mountains where you blew up repeatedly and just felt like shit and wanted to quit about 50 times? How thinking back to that day and how tough that was and how over it you were, and then thinking about the contrast of being in Osaka and running 250 and how good that felt for so long. And you know, we're talking a split variance of 1954 as being your fastest, and that's where you pushed. But by and large, you're just out there running 2010 to 2020 and just almost like a robot. And yet, we go back to the Blue Mountains in January the 28th, and you pretty much went, fuck this.
Yeah, I
Like,
did.
right? What a terrible sport. Why would anyone do this? So, one is, look, my point's really just to illustrate that, hey, not everything goes all smooth and peachy in training, and it's not always an indicator of how the race is going to go, because that looked like a version of torture, that session that you did that day, particularly the loop that you had to do. But how valuable was that day? I think it's probably more my question. How valuable was that day for you as an experience to then take into the marathon?
So I think you alluded to it. That did feel harder than the marathon, definitely, mentally and physically. And I think so, maybe a couple of things. I think it actually helped me know to back it off a little bit that week. So maybe that was like a sign from my body being like, you're like on the edge here. You could cook it. Maybe I could have got sick. Maybe I could have picked up a niggle. So we adjusted things a little bit after that session. And also, I think it's good that stuff doesn't go right the whole time, because you also don't want to get ahead of yourself in, like, I don't want to get ahead of myself in training and start like dreaming of, running a 2:45 or something. If all the sessions are like going perfectly and then I have a massive blow up in the race and a terrible experience. So I kind of think it's healthy that it's not completely smooth sailing, because it gives you a little bit of, teaches you a bit of resilience as well.
Which is kind of valuable for the marathon, just quietly.
I couldn't agree more with that whole, yeah, hitting every session in the block, getting a bit cocky that things just easy. You need to get, and it's not like you need to have a bad session. Like it's just has to organically happen, and then you need to find a way to work through that. And that's part of the marathon build. And I think yeah, I mean, you're a testament to that. Like, I mean, you're hitting the head with the surfboard, that was something that we didn't put that one in final surge as something that as a session where you're going to be having to change your runs, have a few days off. Like those things, they're curveballs that just happen in a, I mean, that doesn't happen to everyone, but things happen in the block that you have to work through. So yeah, no, it's and before we go, is there any, I know you thank the, like you sort of signaled to your coach, you mentioned the people you dedicated the race to, but in like, is there a few other people that you thought you might want to call out, any of your training partners? I know you're so thankful to everyone, so you don't want to miss anyone, but is there anyone that you thought you might want to, now you've got a platform to share some thank yous to?
Oh my gosh, I'm so scared I'm gonna forget people. But definitely like the River Runner crew, so like Scotty and Jono and Richie for helping me out with sessions, Mads for jumping into that session in Adelaide, like Matt Gunther for help with a session, like people just jumping in and helping out all the time. I was like, absolutely. Zaka, you were one of those people. I was so like, oh, I can't forget Zaka. I was, yeah, so grateful for the support. I felt like I wasn't doing it alone, which is a weird thing to say, but and maybe like documenting it here too felt like I had company in the training block, which was a really nice thing too. Like talking to you, Zaka and Chriso, like every fortnight, I feel like I had a little, it was like a support group or something. And that was really helpful. Definitely like Kate Smythe, who I did some sessions with as well. And she like just lent me a pair of Normatec boots for the last 2 weeks,
Oh,
just
cool.
being like, do you have Normatex? No. Oh, I'll bring some over. Like, people just doing kind things. And yeah, everyone who sent like nice messages and shared a bit of my froth with the like biggest smile that you've ever seen at a finish line. Yeah, thank you to everyone who kind of followed along as well. And of course, like Marty, who was there through all of it and has to deal with my shit constantly.
Get
and
a
he
medal
was out
as
there
well?
On the bike. Pardon?
Does he get the medal as well? Finish the medal?
I think he should get a medal too. But he was really excited as well. Yeah, and everyone we shared the experience with in Osaka too, like it was just such a fun time. And I think having so many people over there just made it like a really awesome experience and really memorable.
No, it's been a hell of a ride. We've loved every minute of it. We really appreciate you jumping on and sharing, being vulnerable and putting it all out there. It's not easy because there's been, as we touched on, there's been some highs and lows. So yeah, love your work. Rest up. We will we'll get our people to talk to your people about some future projects, Chriso. See if we can get Brady's credit card or something, some budget going with fees.
And recovery breakfasts aren't cheap down at Torquay, so we definitely, this might be a different feeling that we're chasing to try and compensate Elise for her time. But no, I think, and look, seriously for 1 minute, I think it's actually been, at first, I know when I first started helping out on the podcast, it actually shocked me that people listen to the things that we say. And over the last couple of months, it's dawned on me that there is actually an absolute ton of people that do. And the fact that there's people that reach out without prompting or, you know, or anything like that, they don't have to say nice things. Because typically when I work in a bank and people can't wait to get in there and just tell you about how shit things are. So that's kind of the life I'm accustomed to. So to see people willingly going out of their way and giving up their time to praise the content that you've created, Elise, I'm really grateful for the time that you've given up. I know Zachary is too, and the people that have come along for the journey feel like they really have been there sharing the ride with you. So for your honesty and your humility as well, I think I really thank you for that. Even the start of this episode tonight, I was literally just sitting there, I shouldn't say this, but sitting there like a fan just listening. You've been guilty of it with a few people on some of the shows we've done, Zaka, and I do get into trouble, but I don't ask questions. I just sit there and listen as a fan, because it's just really cool to hear how it all unfolded. But yeah, look, it's been, for me, just to listen to see how, not only how you do your training, because it's I guess it's different to the training I prescribe my athletes, but to see how week in, week out, you went and did it and you got better and you got better and you got strong and you got tested. And yeah, there were challenges, but then come race day, it all just fell into place and you went out there and ran the race of your life. And I think I can speak on behalf of almost all the community when I say that bloody hell, we're happy for you. I think to see someone go and do the work and put themselves out there and tell it like it is. You know, I even think back to that little moment where, you know, sort of like, hey, this is what Elise is all about. There's those teenage boys that wolf whistled at you and you went and pulled them up. And I went, oi, that's not on, boys. And here's why it's unacceptable. You know, and they apologized and they respected you. Like, I just think like little things like that that you shared along the way. Yeah, I just think it's really cool. And for those that sort of didn't know who Elise Beacon was prior to the previous 2 months, I think you've won yourself a lot of fans with just the way that you conduct yourself. And I mean, no one's ever defined by their race results or what they do as an athlete. But I think, yeah, it's just really cool to see good people achieving great things. So no, I'm stoked for you, mate. And I'm really grateful that we've had the opportunity over the last couple of months to get to know you better. And I hope that somehow, some way that we can meet your asking price over the next little while, because I know that there's a lot of people that would love to continue to hear from you.
Oh, Chris, sorry, I don't even know what to say to that. I think people have got to know me because I'm a chronic oversharer, but
Your words,
I
not
kind of.
mine, but we enjoy that though. Like that's God, some of the nonsense I babble on with, but that's all part of the charm. We go down rabbit holes and we talk about nonsense. I mean, that's why we don't really have a script. It's just kind of, hey, let's have a chat because this is just mates catching up, sharing some laughs, and we just all happen to like running a bit. So, yeah.
We love it a lot. No, thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's been, yeah, as I've said to you and Zaka in private, it's been really great to kind of share all of this with you guys. And it literally has felt like just having a chat on a Zoom call, like during lockdown when Zoom was like the thing. With some mates about training, but most of my mates would just like glaze over from boredom, and you guys seemed vaguely interested.
Oh, thank you.
I've got you busted. Awesome, please.
And I do also, I did shout out my coach earlier on when I was talking about him kind of like callousing my legs for the marathon and that being able to hit those paces. But yeah, John Starrett has been awesome, and he like gives me really hard stuff to do and things that intimidate the hell out of me, but I felt like I got to the start line feeling very well prepared. So thanks to John for that as well. It's like, yeah.
Awesome.
250, and yet got a feeling that the best is still yet to come. I don't think you've seen the last of your PBs. Whether they're, hey, that half marathon, that's the next thing on the table, but watch this space on everything else.
Let's hope so. You never know, though.
We'll let you get some rest. You've been really, really grateful for jumping on. Straight off the plane pretty much. So get some rest and recover, and we will chat soon. Thanks again, Elise.
Thanks, Zaka. Thanks, Chriso.
Thanks,
Bye.
mate. Bye.
Hey, mate, we've got to come off top of Mount Fuji after that one. Mount Fuji. Down
Oh, I think
to earth after hearing about that unbelievable marathon. It's going to be hard to talk about our training updates after that.
like anything that we talk about will be fairly insignificant compared to the fun and excitement of just how much Elise has achieved in the marathon. But we do like to have a little update around what we've done.
And also, we're conscious of time because we've been going what hour and a half, and we've got to make sure we're on schedule.
We
Don't go
grind, we run
four
a
hours
tight ship.
like last week. So conscious of the time as well. We know things get
It
a
is
bit
after
longer
9 o'clock.
after 9 o'clock. Your update, mate. Pays for the week.
Yeah, look, nothing sexy. I ran 78 for the week, which I guess, hey, it's better than a kick in the groin. Look, 78 Ks, not real glamorous, but just getting it done. I think I ran a session with Anna on Thursday, and it was as much a session for me as it was for her. So we did five sets. So this is one of the sessions that Andy likes to give. It's 4 minutes steady into 1 minute push and then 1 minute jog recovery. So that 4 minutes can be anything between 10K and probably half marathon effort. So probably most of the time I see it in my program, it's around threshold. But with Anna having or potentially having a race coming up, as I said, the 10K hit out, we thought we'd do the 4 minutes at 10K effort, which is essentially a K rep, and then do a minute push. And then the idea was that we'd have a really, really gentle minute jog. Anyway, for whatever reason, that morning we kicked off the session itself just before 6 a.m. Didn't realize that every cyclist in the Shepherd or the Goulburn Valley was launching from Kyle Lakes that morning and
stumble into a race.
Oh, mate, there was bikes everywhere. Like, they normally kick off at 6 o'clock and they were just riding up and down the street where we were starting our rep, doing loops until everyone got there. We got bike lights shining in our face and they were riding in the gutter, and they obviously couldn't see us because we didn't anticipate the fact we'd need to wear a head torch. But yeah, it just got run off the road a couple of times and it was running up into the gutter and then onto the nature strip and then over
how
people.
wide, how big are the pelotons we're talking?
Well, it's the there's probably like people riding two or three abreast, but riding like covering the edge of the gutter across to like halfway on the road. So you just had
time or session or something.
Well, we were doing a session, but they were just filling in time. Like, they were literally just doing little loops, just, yeah, filling in a few minutes and getting in the way. Now, we were very respectful and didn't say anything, but could tell that the anger was building on Anna's behalf because we got through the first set, so that first set of or 5 minutes, so that 4 minutes steady into a real solid 1 minute push. And oh, she might shoot me for saying this, but we got into the first 1 minute recovery and I traditionally take that really gentle, and that's kind of how I've written the session, whereas Anna loves a float recovery, and 99 times out of 100, I'll let her get away with it. But I was feeling the pinch a little bit and I kind of called out, hey, we've got to take this minute really easy.
Yeah.
And she just kind of snapped like, no, this is how I always do them. And it was just one of those moments where I could tell that, yeah, she'd just been so calm, but got so flustered by all these cars and these bikes and probably didn't need me chirping at that moment, like, hey, just back it off a little bit. Anyway, we had a big laugh about it later. But yeah, it was probably a bit of a circuit breaker that she needed just to relax a little bit too. But that was solid because that Thursday morning was bloody hot too. We end up running like a bit over 7.2K, an average 4 minute Ks for that whole session. So we were both pretty tired after that. But yeah, it ended up being like we only did 20 Ks for the long run, sort of hour 40. And that was a real sort of gentle. Normally we'd have a bit of a kick down or something somewhere in the long run, but that was just easy Ks. But yeah, just ticking it off. I'm hoping to go over to Bendigo on Sunday. So that's the Bendigo Fun Run. I've put myself in the 10K. Won't be racing it as such, but would like to do something that feels like, I don't know, threshold or half marathon effort. Just because I can. Won't be anything special, but the body's pacing feeling better. No pacing, only because I don't actually trust what's going to happen. So I'd hate to commit to pacing. Like, say I'd say, hey, Anna, I'll pace you for the 10K, and then we get through 3K and we're on pace. And I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, sorry, I'm cooked. I've got to fold back. I'd be absolutely gutted, and it's probably that would put myself in a situation because then it would be I would feel that it's important for me to hold that pace that could be to my physical detriment. So yeah, just kind of going to go over, do a little warm up, do some strides and run to a certain effort level to a point where I'll probably even cover my watch up so I can't see it, and I'll just run. So I don't really have any preconceived hopes or ideas about a time. It's just going over to participate in an event that's run by Nigel, and I want to try and support that. And we've actually got a fairly large Shepherd and Runners Club contingent going over as well. So that'll be cool. And hopefully catch up with some of the guys from Bendigo as well. So I think Nora's got her eyes on some shopping that she wants to do too, just quietly. I think I've caught a few browsers that have been open. So we look, it could be a good day, but it could be an expensive day as well with some of the shopping. But yeah, heading over to do that. And then, yeah, I'll hopefully get some results back from the doctor early next week. Not anticipating that they're going to reveal much because I figure that if it was anything bad, they would have called me by now and told me. But yeah, we've got to sit down and just go over what's come back early next week. And then, yeah, look, I'm feeling a little bit better each day. Certainly not smashing it. I did a 5K threshold yesterday and I averaged 355. So that's not bad, but it's, you know, I look at threshold effort. I mean, it's 17, 18 seconds a kilometer off what I ran at Ballarat last year. So I'm under no false illusion that, you know,
you're consciously running within yourself there.
Yeah, like, but that felt like threshold.
Okay.
Yeah, like probably some, you know, I could even say between 10K and threshold. So, yeah, like that's not just how I'll just go for a little jog and some 355s fell out. Like, nah, I was working.
Okay.
And you know, it's just talking to Anna about it afterwards and you sort of, is the glass half full or is it half empty? I don't know. Like, hey, like I should be really grateful that I can go and do that and was able to do it. And that's one part of me. But then there's also the part of me that goes far out. Like that is so far off what I could do only a few weeks ago. This sucks. So,
yeah. But we also know there's something at play to sort of at least get some verification on. And then that could be what's also just affecting a little bit of a limiter there. I have to run. Whilst you're saying you're running it, but I think that may change quicker than you think when fight on.
And that's it. Look, I think there has been some, like, as funny as it seemed, the most exciting, or I guess the best feeling run of the week was a 12K run that I did on the Sunday. I didn't look at my watch for the whole thing. I just ran and it felt good and the body just felt like it progressively got better and it felt easy. And I end up averaging 4:45s on an easy run. So I'm like, oh, hello, we might be back here. And I think perhaps part of me took that into the run that I did Tuesday thinking, wow, this could actually be a sign that, you know, things are going really well. And then sort of seeing that like, oh, yeah, nah, you still got a fair way to go. But look, as I said, I'm torn between being super grateful for what I can be doing, but also I guess being stuck in a bit of a negative mindset around the things that I can't. So I know that's not right. I shouldn't be disappointed or hard on myself. So, but that's something I've got to work on. That's a thing for me to improve is my mindset. But I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I think it'll be really cool. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Stuff. A couple of runs to PB Legends. It will be quite a few runs to PB Legends. And I've got Andrew Crollis down there running at Bendigo. So there'll be some singlets floating around, no doubt. And Nigel does a bang up job.
The results sheets over the next few weeks are going to be absolutely chock-a-block full. I know that the run to PB highlights on the post during the week was full with Osaka and various other fun runs and park runs and all that. But you're nearly going to need a double page, I reckon, after this next fortnight. But speaking of races coming up, what about a race that's just been? I know we're not allowed to call it a race because we don't do that at park run anymore, but you ventured down to park run and had a bit of a get out. Tell us about it.
Dusted off the barcode. That made a lot of dust gathered because I was saying to you before, Chriso. I obviously had this block where I'm just stacking the weeks together, getting a bit of momentum, body's feeling good off, you know, generally two sessions, a couple of weeks where I've had one and like a down week. What did we have? The week, last few weeks have been around that 78 to 80K mark. So, time to kind of just get a bit of a sense check of where I'm at. And I think a park run was a good chance to do that for me. And whilst the sessions have been, you know, I've been, I guess, pushing the boundaries a bit on some of the paces and feeling better each one, I think there is no substitute to going out and having that relentless effort of, well, firstly getting on the line again. And yeah, we need to talk about it not being a race, but there's still a set time and people around and you still warm up like it's a race and you still, you obviously don't get the nerves anywhere near the nerves you would pre big race, but you still get a different feeling to session. I think I wanted to get that again, and I hadn't had it since Albert Park. So that was one of the things I wanted to experience. And then also I've been controlling a lot of my workouts. So doing it with, whether it's been with Al on the bike or whether it's been with Dave and other training partners, and we've been setting the sessions and going along on a flat Albert Park road. And I think going out of Princess Park and doing a park run, yeah, it was probably something I needed just to see where I'm at. And whilst I was, yeah, I guess I've 17, I thought I was probably in 17 low, high 16 shape, and started that way, maybe started a touch quick, and thought, oh, look, I wanted to, as you go with Chriso, go out with a bit of intent, because I can sometimes find myself in park runs going out a little bit too conservative. And this one, yeah, went out with intent, maybe just touch too much intent, because by 2.5K, I was just like, okay, this actually feels. So I went 320, 325, and 328 was the third K. And between the two and the three, yeah, I was starting to just think, okay, I need to just pull back a little bit here. And that's probably a byproduct of doing a lot of sessions, that I kind of settled back into session feel as opposed to like, and yeah, it was probably all I had, but as opposed to like, okay, you've got to then elevate and push a bit harder because this is a race day. And I didn't have that. And that's just a lack of racing, I think. Lack of, and a combination, lack of racing and a lack of the work. And I haven't been doing very specific 5K work. So that probably came to the fore. And by the fourth K, I was at 330. And I got into a comfortable but hard rhythm. Like I actually ended up, because with Princess Park, you do a bit of a merge back after you do a full lap and then a half lap, basically. And at that half lap, you merge in and it gets a bit busier. And then by that point, I was sort of sitting clear in second. And then it went from like this big group, maybe four or five people swallowed me up. And we got into a bit of a pack and a bit of a race, which was good. I just couldn't push on and really, you know, you can see I faded. I went 28. 30, 31, that last K, you know, going around the bend into the final straight at Princess Park, a couple other guys around me just didn't have the wheels to push on. And yeah, even the sense of like, you finish on the left, I was out on the right, so I couldn't really get across to finish through into the slip lane. It wouldn't have made much difference. I didn't have a kick. I didn't really have the real go in the legs. And that's just, you know, part of the whole idea is just to get out and see how I was going to react in those last few Ks. And it was bloody hard at the end. Yeah. So 17, I sort of think if I was to do a couple more, I'd run them differently, and I'd probably have a bit more confidence in, you know, how that feels. Like, it's kind of like I knew it was going to come, but it's a different feeling to what I've had in the sessions. And I'll go away, do another 4 weeks, and, you know, get stronger and, you know, tap into a bit more speed.
I think it's good to go and experience that feeling again, because as you said, you don't necessarily get permission to dip that far into the well during a training session. And, you know, you wouldn't have done, you know, 5Ks at, you know, that intensity of no break. Like, we get 8 minutes in and then we get a bit of downtime and then we go for another 8 minutes. So it's sort of, I used to do you the world of good, and also a chance to bring the body forward. And like, you've pulled up pretty well.
Yeah, pulled up fine. Yeah, pulled up really good. So yeah, light runs after that, but not too banged up. And I think, like, you know, I've never really been a 5K guy anyway, so I've always needed to work into the race and into a pace, and I feel better at 10K half marathon effort. So I feel like, whilst I actually look back at Princess Park last year in April, was the last park run I did, and I ran 17:05 or so seven. So I'm really ahead of the curve being in Feb to run that ahead of what ended up with Albert Park. So I think that gives me confidence that, you know, the body's holding up you know, I'm getting through the workouts, I'll keep just slowly put the foot down in mileage. And I'm not in a real rush to go from 80 to 100 to 120. Like, I, you know, I may not get to 120. I may just sit in that 100 to 110. So, yeah, it now gives me, you know, I'm probably a month ahead of where I was for last winter. And, you know, there's been the added maybe less mileage, but, you know, stuff in the gym that's probably come through and pain-free on, you know, most of the runs. So we'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just speaks volumes about the consistency of your work over the last 3 or 4 months that, you know, you've gone there and put a fair beating into the legs, which is good. I mean, anytime you do that, and you can see in your splits there that you're working, and yep, there's a bit of a fade, but that's okay. It's all about just doing the work. So yep, put the fatigue in, pulled up well, which, hey, we'll always take that. And now you get to go forward again once the body absorbs it. So, you know, we're talking February, and the things that you want to do aren't till later in the year. So yeah, mate, that's just the season opener. That's all that is. We're shedding the rust.
I did laugh that a couple of the guys that managed to get on the back of me and then just put me to the sword in the last K and R said, "Oh, yeah, thanks for the toe. Like, thanks for setting us up." And I wasn't really like planning to tow you along. Like, no worries. Like, I just blew up, and you guys just absolutely torched me in the end. But it was kind of them for thinking that I'd actually planned to do that. But
you didn't take credit, mate. You know, I'm just about giving back to the community.
Oh, mate, before we wrap up, bit of housekeeping around the grounds. There was a post we alluded to earlier about, I think, mate, I've gone to the lowest font possible to get all those results in there, and it's probably not clear enough. I think we do need to go to 2 next time, but just heaps going on around the country in the last few weeks. Paul Reason, he'll be happy, mate, cover model. He's got the Guernsey with the sore kit, but you can jump on. We had the Osaka results in. We had 3 events in New Zealand that were around the bay, Kawira, the shoot over Moonlight Mountain Marathon, which when Elise sent that through, I said, "Are you just like making names of races now just for a laugh?" But it is an event, and it was done and dusted. There was events in Queensland we recapped. We provided some results. A lot in Victoria on the track. Oh, out on the roads.
Mate, Mount Woola. Got some Shrechi and Moy stuff. The Southeast Queensland Trail Series. Like, you name it, it's happening. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Victorian track and field champs as well. I think that the school stuff. So
yeah. And these young guns are cleaning up some medals there. So yeah, it's on our Instagram. We'll continue to do that every kind of 2 weeks, really, as these events gather steam. Last one, couple of listener, things that came across our desk, mate. Dale Fuda, one of our, he spotted some clippos on special, sent it through, told us that he was out shopping. He just couldn't resist getting on board the Clippo train. So we'll keep trying to vie for that sponsorship with Clippo.
Mate, and absolute bargain as well. So this looks like it. Just let me zoom in a little bit, because I don't want to. I know some of the big chain supermarkets have been in the shit for some of the interviews they've given on TV. So this looks like a Woolworths store, based on the photo, and they were offering 40% off on Calippos, $5.40 for a box of 10. The raspberry and pineapple, the ones that I've got in the flavor there, but you might see in the background those Twister icy poles that looks like a bit of a lime and raspberry number with the looks to be the paddle pop line in the background.
Oh yeah,
on those too. But mate, $5.40 for a box of Calippos, that's unreal. Less than 60 cents a unit there. That's good going.
Hey, the other thing that came across our desk, we had a great message come through from Andrew Clark, who's a listener, but obviously a also a run to PB athlete. He was up in Melbourne last night for work, and it happened to coincide with the Reload Run Club, our first collab with the guys over at Reload. Kate Avery, our coach, was taking that one out at Princess Park, and Andrew went out there and carved up Princess Park, had a great session, and yeah, it sort of sent through a kind message just to thank you know, Kate and Reload Run Club, and I guess the opportunity to join that that group, which is happening once a month. Details are on the website, but I thought it was pretty cool that Andrew was able to tack it into a working day.
No, I love that. I think it's hopefully there'll be more and more people. I know run clubs are taking off all over Melbourne at the moment, but yeah, really cool that Andrew got to take part in that. Hopefully we'll see more of it, give the opportunity with some of our other athletes to tag along and meet Kate and see some of the great work that she's doing there with Lock there.
Love it, mate. We've ended up going nearly 2 hours here, so we probably should
it's bedtime.
Shut up, mate. We've got the last half an hour in the red time, the 9 o'clock, past the 9 o'clock slot. So hopefully we haven't offended too many people in that 9 o'clock window.
No, you can. The content that we make after 9 o'clock, that should probably be on a Patreon feed. It's nothing but high quality.
I didn't get many customers.
No.
All right, mate. Good luck on the weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy just getting out and getting along with your crew.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool part of the weekend. I think just being able to catch up with my athletes and see how they're going. I think, it's really cool. So now I will say good day to Nige, pass on our regards, and hopefully can get a few photos with the crew over the weekend. It'd be awesome.
We'll be back next week. Got a guest lined up and another run to BB athlete to chat about their journey. And looking forward to that, mate.
No, it'd be good. Catch up soon, mate.
Yeah, mate.